you, Lord, for just gathering us again in your name to hear your word, Lord, and to allow it to be opened up to us. Just let it be by your spirit, Lord, and by the power of his might. And we leave it there and rest in that, Lord, knowing that it edifies us, and we praise you and waiting for you. And we just thank you in that name. Amen. All right, so been kind of thinking about God's mercy and how really it, you would think that mercy is like a preliminary thing for growing Christians or something low, but what God's been showing me is how mercy allows us to get more grace. And if you think about that, that's what happens, you know. And that's my thought tonight about how it takes, first of all, it takes grace for us to really see how merciful God is. Then that mercy allows us to receive more grace. And remember, it's always faith by faith, grace by grace, and he just grows us. Okay, but, and it's really, really mercy allows us to see God's love. And gets us more into that. And, of course, you would think that love is the ultimate thing. And so if I had to define God in one word, which would be real stupid to try to do, but if I did have to do that, I would say that is love, right? God is love. And, you know, but again, mercy allows us to see more of that. And more of what's to come, okay? And here's the thing that is really focused on my heart tonight is how mercy is really essential for humanity, okay? For humans, all right? And mercy doesn't mean God take it easy on me when I mess up, you know? I wouldn't say that's mercy. But I would say open me up to more of what eternity has to offer for me, okay? That's mercy. And how it's, again, essential for humans, okay? Mercy always points to the cross, right? And we heard a lot about how the cherubim, they're overlooking the mercy seat, okay? And it's, again, that lamb slain. And if you think about it, you still will always recognize Jesus as the lamb slain, okay? You'll see that in Revelation 5. That never goes away, okay? But even right now, if you think about, that's what mercy is pointing us to, what he did on the cross, okay? Mercy reminds us of that. And I know that mercy is in the Greek Strong Concordance, 1656. It kind of means goodwill towards men, okay? Readiness to help the afflicted or those in trouble. My hands up in the air, right? And that's all around us at all times, okay? In the Old Testament, it's in the Hebrews 26:16, and it's loving kindness, and it's always translated mercy, okay? But again, it's necessary for humans, and it always points to the bloody cross, that lamb slain, okay? We never lose that glorious, even though it's kind of horrific, or really horrific scene, it's glorious of that cross and what it all really amounts to. And again, mercy leads us to more grace. All right, so let's open up to Psalms 89. And this psalm is by, his name is Mashil of Ethan the Ezraite. And I looked up that name, Mashil. It means instruction or giving understanding. And this psalm is also called the Davidic covenant, a song about that, or David's covenant with God. And we'll read that covenant, Lord willing, later on. But this is, again, Psalms 89. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared or respected in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence to all them that are about him. O God of hosts, who is strong, Lord, like unto thee, or thy faithfulness are to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and remember that sea is raging right now with us Gentiles, okay? When the waves thereof are, you stillest them, okay? Thou hast broken, that word Rahab is really Egypt, in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast gathered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Okay, so that's really a song of his mercy. And it goes on. It's a pretty long song. But again, that's about David's covenant and God's covenant with David. Okay, but again, look at verse 4. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Okay, seed singular, talking about Jesus, right? But I want to go back one more step to verse 2. Okay, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. All right, and that's what's building it, if you really think about it, in our lives. Okay, again, in our lives, we're instructed to, you know, grow in grace and knowledge, right? But here's the thing that I'm realizing. We need God's mercy to see that, to see more grace, okay? Because, again, where there's mercy, that means we're in need of something, right? It's okay to be needy. It is very okay because we're very needy people, okay? We need you guys. And sometimes it takes situations and things that we need God to be merciful for, as we count it merciful, okay, for us to even want to seek after more of him. And that's just the reality of it. We need that, okay? We see here that he already broke those ties with Egypt, okay, because he's merciful. But also, you guys, we have to be able to be in need, okay, needy. All right, he refuses the proud. He refuses that. You guys, it's important for us to realize that we're needy and we need his mercy, okay, because of our weakness, our infirmity, our humanity, all right? But I promise God invested in humans. He's invested in us, and okay? Pastor is talking about how we're separated as those vessels of glory. Right now we are in this vessel, this humanity. But again, God wants to show you that it's our weakness is made perfect in his strength, okay? And that all relates to mercy, okay? I'm going to skip over to verse 24 real quick, okay? By my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 26, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And also I will make him my first born higher than the kings of the earth. Okay. And verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him, just for a moment. And it says, forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Okay. So again, you guys, it's okay. We need God's mercy. It really is okay. Okay, don't be proud. Don't be proud. All right, where there's a need of mercy, or when you recognize you need God's mercy, that's when you can get more grace. All right, and it's the grace that will grow us up. Think about it. One waters, one plants. Okay, but who makes it grow? Who gives the increase? It's God. That's something separate from us. All right, but I guarantee you, you need to recognize your need. All right, you need to recognize your need, and it's not something that's superficial or something that you should say or think about. It's an actual need, all right, and it's something that we all have because of our humanity, all right? Okay, so if we go back over to Ephesians 2, we were over there this morning. And I'm pretty sure we're familiar with this, but I'm going to go to verse 4. And again, watch how this kind of alludes to things. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, again, by grace. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, and here's the reason why God's merciful, and here's the reason why we need mercy, okay? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ, okay? Through Christ Jesus, okay? Again, grace makes us know that God's merciful, but mercy makes us get more grace, all right? And that's the grace that completes us. And I was thinking about that word kindness there. Okay, and this is pretty cool if you get this. The word kindness here is kind of translated moral goodness. Okay, moral goodness or integrity. Okay, and it's a quality that a quality of something or someone. All right, it's a quality. So that word kindness to us. So that's what God kind of showed me with this is the fact that he makes us moral. All right, he's the one that does it. It's because of his mercy, you know. Think about it. What we lacked, if you go up there to the first part of this chapter, in times past when we walked according to the course of this world, all right, to the power of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, all those things. Okay, but God, and it wasn't just that. So when Christians think that it's just that, to stop there. To be able to be free from that wrath, I guess, okay? And that's it. But that's not why God is merciful, all right? He wants us to come into the fullness of his grace, which takes the ages to come for us to even really get. So mercy is good now for us, but it's really storing up treasures if we accept what mercy does, you guys. All right? All right, so let's go back over to... We can go over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And so we started off reading David's covenant, and it starts off with a song about mercy, singing to mercy. In that same 89th psalm, it's talked about how mercy was going to establish forever something, right? Okay, so in 2 Samuel 7, this is kind of the beginning of that Davidic covenant. And really what I want you to do, if you guys can flip back to chapter 5, so 2 Samuel 5 and in verse 11 and 12 real quick. Okay, and David grew greatly, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. That's verse 10. Okay, now in verse 11. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees. Okay, just think about how trees, if you think about types and stuff, trees speak of humanity. Again, humanity. Okay, and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. All right, now flip back over to chapter 7, and I'll read 1 through 3, then I'll go through to 11 through 17. And it came to pass when the king sat in the house And the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "Now see, I dwell in this house of cedar, and the ark of God dwells in curtains," or in tents. And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that's in thine heart. The Lord is with thee." Okay. Now jump over to verse 11. "And since the time that I commanded judges," this is God speaking to David, "and since the time," or God speaking to Nathan, the prophet, and Nathan's going to deliver this to him. "But since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies, also the Lord tells thee that he will make thee an house. And when did thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed," again singular, "after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Okay, "and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men." All right. "But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I shall put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David." All right. So that's the covenant, all right, the Davidic covenant. And it's true. But think about it. It's all about Jesus. It's really all about Jesus, okay, that seed, and how it can bless many nations and how it's going to be established forever. But again, it's because of mercy. Look at verse 15. "My mercy shall not depart away from him." Okay. Did that ever happen? All right. Just think about it. We get mercy from God because of Jesus. We get all of that because of what Jesus did on that cross. Okay. Again, mercy points us to the cross. All right. But look what it does. It established us with Christ forever. You know, they say that a king really can't be a king until he has his queen. Right. And again, this is talking all about Jesus, his kingdom forever. Well, he needs his queen first. All right. But again, we need to take mercy. It'll build us up. All right. So, guess I better stick to my notes. Sometimes I feel like I should just shut up. All right, but so again, we are talking about how that wood speaks of humanity, and how that King Hiram, his name means noble rock, and it talks about kindness. So if you flip over to 1 Kings chapter 5, we'll look at the first 12 verses there. All right. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. Okay, so he loved David. He had a relationship with David. Okay, and Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, "You know how that David, my father, could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars." In another place, just by the way, it said David was a bloody man. Okay. And again, it points again to that cross. "Unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord, my God, has given me rest on every side." And again, Solomon's name means peace. so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurring. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set up on thy throne in my room, he shall build a house unto my name. All right. Now therefore command now that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servant shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for your servants according to all that you shall appoint. Okay, I'm going to skip down to verse 7. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord this day, which has given unto David a son over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servant shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place that you shall appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there, and you shall receive them, and you shall accomplish my desire in giving me food for my household. All right. Then real quick, jump down to verse 12. And so they made this agreement, and Solomon gave him food and stuff. But in verse 12, the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two made a league together. Okay, so King Hiram provided all this wood, okay, to Solomon. And that's kind of like those preordained good works, because the deal was already made with his dad, okay, before Solomon, really. And when he heard that it was time for that, of course he was on board to give it to him, okay? But think about that, I'll read my notes. They're like our human provisions that God set aside for us, that timber, the things that we should do. Think about it. He tells us to occupy, okay? Occupy with what? What should we be doing? I believe that God has everything, all the desires of my heart, he even ordered that, so that I would want to do the things that I do. And sometimes I don't want to do them. He gives me that desire still to do them, okay? But I think that's all preordained. And it's, he knows we're in this humanity, you guys. And that's why he gives us mercy. You don't escape that. Paul even says that that the trials and the things that we have, they're not different from any other human out here, okay? But you can almost think about it, but we're not sorrowful like those with no hope, okay? It's different for us because of what it's really bringing in the long run. And again, you guys, you're not above mercy. Don't think that. That's on my heart to say, you know? You're not above the need of mercy, okay? It's a continual cycle, right? Mercy brings us more grace, all right? And again, whenever you think of that wood here being stored up and being brought in, that's mercy upon mercy, okay? And it's, and again, each time it points us back to that cross, okay? It really does. It really points us to that humanity that he came, he left everything, the glory, and became a man, a lowly man, right? And then he died a brutal, humiliating death, okay, for us to receive mercy, for us to be able to have all this, okay? It was his joy to do that for us, right? And that's how we have to learn how to appreciate it, okay? He doesn't want us to be above this right now. It had to be that way. He established it. He established it that way. All right, and again, I guess in closing, we will go look at this in Revelation 5, remembering that mercy built this for us, okay? Mercy built this. And if you think about that mercy seat, the pictures that we see standing over it, the cherubim, look at this scene here. Everything's alive right now. It's no longer golden statues and things. This is alive, the throne. I have in my notes Revelations 5, 6 through 10. And behold, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God has made us unto our God king and priest, as we shall reign on earth. All right. And so that's pretty much the message right there. Again, they still see him as the lamb slain, that mercy seat. Okay. It exposes our need of mercy. Okay. Our need of mercy. And again, it's really all about us being able to accept God's love. That's what the ultimate thing is. All right. Because again, God is love. Okay. And everything, I feel like everything that all these attributes and things, it really just adds up to that. God's loving me. And that's how I'm going to leave it tonight. Just, you know, again, mercy leads us into grace. And we all want more grace, more grace, more grace. I do, okay? And I can't wait to see in those ages to come. But right now I need mercy for me to even want that, to see seek after that, all right? So I pray this was a blessing to you guys. I trust God for that. Will you close this out?